Lord. We'll be reading today in the book of Mark. We're going to be reading about the woman that took that alabaster box of ointment and anointed Jesus' feet. It says in chapter 14 of Mark, it says, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death, or plotting against Jesus. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and had been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do good to them, may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She hath come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And if we look in I believe it's in John's gospel, he identifies the woman as Martha's sister Mary that came in. And there's another, I think it's in Luke, there's a story of him up in Galilee where a sinful woman comes, and she's a sinner, and she starts crying and wiping his feet with her hair and washing them with the tears. And it was the same story. That story came abroad as I was studying about this. That story probably came abroad, and Mary heard about that woman that did that up in Galilee, and she said that's her opportunity to do that, you know. And so she came to the Lord, and I think it's maybe it's in John, where it identifies Judas Iscariot as the one that found fault. And they gave a dinner to the Lord at this time, because Lazarus was there, whom he raised from the dead. And people came to see Lazarus. They come because it was a great miracle. They wanted to see him. And we find out that the Pharisees wanted to kill Lazarus too. They wanted to kill him and Jesus, you know, and try and do away with Christianity. And but she took that ointment of spikenard, it said, very precious. And I understand that they had to get that from India, far off in India, to get that that money. And it was 300 pence. It would be the denarius of Rome at that time. It'd be a day's wage, so it'd be like a year's salary to buy that ointment. And Judas said it was a waste. And here was the Lord, who just raised Lazarus from the dead, did many wonderful things, and they found fault and say, why was this waste made? There was no waste at all. You know, he deserved every bit of that ointment. And he said that she had done it before for his burial, because he knew he was going to have to give his life, you know, on Calvary. And she had done that. And he said, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of her for a memorial of her. And we find out, like I say in John, that it was Mary, Martha's sister, Mary, and Lazarus was their brother, who had been raised from the dead. It was a wonderful thing, and I envy Mary quite a bit, and I envy that woman that came up in the Galilee there and washed his feet. I'd love to do that myself. My hair, I don't have enough, I don't think, but to do that for the Lord is just a desire of my heart, you know, to show that kind of love, you know. And the way they sat, you know, a lot of people, you see these European paintings of that, and you see Jesus sitting in a chair, and the woman is on the ground wiping his feet. But that wasn't the way it was in the Roman style. I don't know if I can do it on these chairs without falling somewhere, but I'm going to try. But they were a couch. And if you could imagine a couch that had a back and the table would be over here. And so Jesus was reclining on that and his feet would be right out there, you know. You imagine someone kneeling would be right. His feet would be the first thing you see. If he's here eating, the feet would, there would be more couch here than this. But his feet would be right out there, you know, right handy. And that'd be the first thing she would have seen coming up to him. And it's a wonderful thing, you know. The Bible says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that publish peace, you know, that bring the gospel, you know. What a wonderful thing to anoint, you know. And surely the devil probably tried to tell her, just take a little bit of that ointment, you know, just use a little bit, you know. And I imagine her, if she'd fought the devil before, she had some experience, you know. She loved the Lord, and the Lord had been with her. She was the one that sat and listened to Jesus preach, you know. And Martha said, why don't you have her help me with these dishes, or whatever she was doing. You know, I guess they were serving and preparing food. And Jesus said, no, Mary has chosen that better thing. You know, she's hearing the word of God. He said, I'm not going to take it away from her. I'm going to let her learn. You know, and she learned to love the Lord so much that she took that. And I could imagine in my mind, the devil said, just take a little bit of that ointment. It's precious, you know, just take a little bit. And she took that bottle, that the alabaster was a kind of a thin, easily carved stone. And she just busted that thing open, you know, and took it all and rubbed it on his feet and on his head. And they said the smell of that ointment filled the whole house, you know. And when the woman did it up in Galilee, he said that it was another Simon up there. And he said, I've got something much to say to you. Because he was saying, well, if he knew what kind of a woman that was, he wouldn't let her touch him. You know, if he knew she was a sinner, this other woman. And so he said, I've got something much to say, you know, to you, Simon. And he says, there were a creditor, and one owed his master 500 pence, and the other owed 50. He said, and the master just frankly forgave both of them. He said, who's going to love the master most? And old Simon says, I believe the one that was forgiven the most. And he said, you've answered right. He said, her sins that were many are all forgiven, you know. And the one that is forgiven so much, you know, they love the most, you know. I thank God for forgiving me. I was in a lot of things, you know, a lot of evil things and wicked things growing up. I got to be 30 years old before I got saved. But I thank God for considering me, you know, while I was yet in my sin, you know, he remembered me. And I remember as a little child, before I got into all the evil and stuff like that, I got a hold of my dad's flashlight at night. We were camping, and he didn't want me getting his flashlight, but I got a hold of it anyway. And I just turned that flashlight on and shined it up at the stars that we were down Tennessee, I think it was, one of our summer vacations. So I was shining that flashlight up in the sky, and I said, I wonder if God sees this light, you know. And I was shining it up there, you know. Little did I know that many years later, back in 1977, he shined his light back on me, you know, and presented the gospel to me, revealed that I was a sinner, and had me confess my sin to him. And it's been just a love affair ever since, you know. It's been great, you know. Since I gave my heart to the Lord, there's just nothing like it, you know. And that's why I envy those women, you know, that went and wept. I could shed enough tears to wash his feet, I guarantee, you know. And I'd love to do that, you know. We think about the Easter season right now, when the Lord gave his life for us, you know. And it's just such a wonderful thing, you know, the just for the unjust. You know, he that knew no sin became sin for us that we might be saved. You know, there's just no comparison. And he said, no one love, you know, the greatest love that you could have is to give your life for your friends. You know, but he gave his life for us when we were enemies. you know, and we didn't know him, you know, but there's a song I think Brother Larry sings it, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind, you know, and that is surely true, you know. He went to the cross to save us, you know. He didn't go for his own self. He knew no sin, but he went to bear our sins. And that's just a wonderful thing, Easter season. He came and paid that price, and God accepted that price by raising him from the dead. You know, that's a sign that that was accepted. You know, he rose and we can rise with him. You know, I'm so glad that we can have that life. You know, we'll be able to see him in glory. We'll be able to be with him. I believe he's got a way of just, it's something funny, you know, that said there was in heaven a multitude that no man could number, but he's able to deal with us one-on-one all the time. That's a miracle, you know, being God and being true man. You know, he's able to deal with us one-on-one. He could show us, you know, personal things. You know, he could be personal with us, you know, just one-on-one. Praise God. You know, in heaven, in the book of Revelation, it says he's going to give us a smooth stone, a white stone, with a new name written on it, you know, that he and you will be the only one to know that name. He'll give you that stone. You'll have a name written on there. And I believe the reason he's going to do that is you'll know that name. I'll get a new name. I preached about that one time on a program I was doing. Like you get a pet dog, you know, you get the right to name that dog. You know, I named several dogs that we had at home, and some cats we had, I'd give them a name. You know, it was a yellow cat, we called her Goldie, and like a charcoal colored cat, we called him Smokey, you know, and he accepted that name. But he's got a name for us, it's personal. You know, he said he named all the stars and calls them by name. But he has a right, you know, paying the price for us. He give us a new name in glory, you know, and I'm looking for that. And one day we'll know that name, and he'll know it, and we'll hear that name called, I believe. And that's going to tell us that he wants to meet one-on-one with you. And you'll go up and meet him, you know, on his throne, you know, and he's got something that he wants to share with you. You know, we'll hear that name called. You know, it's a wonderful thing. We fulfilled the scripture today, even preaching that. He said, wherever this gospel is preached, you know, it'll be, you'll remember that woman for what she did. And we've done that tonight, so we fulfilled what he said on that day. You know, my pastor preached on this a while back, quite a few years ago, I think now. But I told him, you fulfilled the Bible today. He said, oh, what did I do? the Bible said, wherever that gospel is preached, you know, that woman did would be mentioned, you know, for a memorial of her, you know. And he said, well, I guess we did. We fulfilled the Bible. So we've fulfilled the Bible again today. I know the Bible's true, you know, every word in here, every promise in the book is ours. You know, if we believe, we have faith like a grain of mustard seed, we can tell the mountain that we'll go in and be thrown in the sea, and he'll obey, the mountain will obey. I believe that, you know, the Word of God is wonderful. I was telling somebody, the devil will try to get you to doubt the Word of God, and all that God, he don't pay no mind to his Word. He's not going to do it. But he told us that in the judgment, we'll have to give an account of every idle word we've ever said. You know, that worries me, you know. He said every idle word, you have to give an account of it. But he could never tell us that if he didn't watch over every word in this word. You know, he watches over every word, every promise in the book to fulfill it. You know, he makes sure that it comes to pass. Otherwise, he would never have to hold us to any kind of a level like he said. You know, I thank God I don't want my words to be trivial. You know, I don't want to have idle words. For that reason, I try not to. I still do. I'm still a man, you know, and I'll be telling jokes here and there and carrying on. But I know he's just, you know, and though I have those idle words, you know, we always have to ask the Lord to forgive me. If I've done anything that offended you, Lord, forgive me and help me to do better. Paul, in the scripture, he says we forget the past, but we go on to what's in front of us, you know, and reach for that high mark in the calling of the Lord Jesus, that the love of God, we walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. You know, we can fulfill those things that God expects us to do. through him. You know, he's overcome this world, and we can overcome the world through him. I believe that today. God bless you. Praise the Lord.